Well, nothing like the scent of salty air to get you in the mood for some seafood. So we wanted to revisit a farm-to-fork trip we took with Tremont 647 chef and owner Andy Husbands. We went to Duxbury in search of Chrysostrea virginica, the eastern oyster.
And at Island Creek Oysters, they're not just harvesting the bivalve mollusks. They have a remarkable lab where they breed and hatch them.
So we met Andy and two Island Creek employees there on a windy, windy day.
I'm Chris Sherman, and I'm the marketing director at Island Creek Oysters.
My name's Gardner Loring. I run Island Creek Shellfish Farm.
So just in a couple sentences, can you tell us what we're about to do?
Sure. What we're going to do is we're going to go out to what we call the grant, which is the area that we lease of bottomland from the state to grow our oysters on. And we'll harvest some oysters, and then we're going to take it back to the kitchen, and Andy's going to make us a nice mignonette sauce.
So let's go.
We got the weather working in your favor, which is good. Yesterday was a little bit more questionable, but still blowing, but at least it's not sheeting rain.
So how long has Island Creek been in operation here in Duxbury?
It started actually as a clam farm in 1992. Skip Bennett, who we're going to meet later, actually founded it. And we've been growing oysters since about 1995. In a normal year, we'll harvest 5 million oysters. So that works out to about 120,000 a week.
120,000 a week?
Yeah.
Is it seasonal or is that on average?
It's seasonal just in terms of the oyster's flavor. For instance, everyone always talks about the old adage, don't eat oysters in the months that don't have an R in them. It's not necessarily true. So if you're dealing with a wild product, like something from the Gulf, they actually do shut down that fishery during the warm months. Those are the months that don't have an R in it are those peak summer months, June, July, August. That's actually when the oysters spawn. So that's why historically when all the oysters that we ate were wild, you wouldn't eat them in those months because, you know, they'd either be covered in gamete or after they spawn, the meat gets really spent loose and translucent and not that nice, opaque, fluffy texture that you like to eat. But here in Duxbury, the oysters don't actually spawn. The water is way too cold for them. We have this huge influx of tides that sucks really cold, salty water in from Cape Cod Bay, and then the southwesterly prevailing breeze in the summer blows all that surface water out to sea, so it never has a chance to really warm up in the sun.
So for them to spawn, you're doing it in the hatchery, is that what you're doing?
Yeah, so we're going to check out the hatchery in a little bit, but the hatchery is the place where we breed the oysters, so we take the really handsome adults, you know, the ones that have survived, and, you know, they have a nice deep cup, a round shape, big flutes in the shell, and hopefully when you open them up, a big healthy meat inside. We take those into the hatchery, and then we breed them just like you would horses or dogs, and that's how we get the tiny little seed that we then put out into the bay. And it goes out in the bay when it's about the size of a flake of pepper, and then 18 months later, if all goes right, it'll be about 3 inches long and ready to go to market.
So do you use a particular subspecies of oyster?
We don't. Actually, oysters are really similar to wine in a number of respects. The one and the kind of neat reason to be out here is that they're a really strong expression of the place where they're grown. The wine word that they use for that is terroir. You know, a grape and a wine taste like the earth that it grows in. It's affected by the climate, the humidity, by the hand of the winemaker in the process. All that holds true for oysters as well. So all of the oysters grown here are Chrysostrea virginica, which is a fancy word for the eastern oyster. And we're lucky enough that we're able to cultivate the native oyster species here. They've been growing in this region all on the East Coast for thousands and thousands of years. These are the same types of oyster that the Native Americans would be harvesting, you know, 1,000 years ago.
Are they really so precise that, like, say, one bunch of oysters in one part of the bed will actually have a different flavor than one, say, on the other side of the bed?
Yeah, you know, if you have a really precise palate, you can absolutely tell the difference. It has those nice kind of vegetal flavors. This time of year, when the bay's waking up and algae and plankton starting to grow again, you know, as the water reaches that temperature. And, you know, you can really get those nice mossy vegetal notes. And sometimes you can even taste the eelgrass that's out here in the bay.
That's where we're going?
That's where we're going.
Okay.
The cages that you see there are the nursery. So that's where you have basically young oysters that are still seed between that quarter inch and inch and a quarter size. And then to the left of that is where the actual beds are, where the adult oysters are that we're harvesting. Do you want to throw some waders on and take these guys over there?
Yes.
Gardner's your man for this segment.
Wearing these waders, you feel kind of invincible.
Sorry? Oh, yeah, I know.
So these cages, they look like wire cages. That's
yeah,
all they are.
It sort of looks like a big lobster trap.
So they're right up there near the top of the cage. They're tiny. They're what, like a half
about
an inch?
About an inch.
And how many are in that rack there?
Well, in this particular bag or in the whole
I guess
whole
in
rack?
That particular bag. Probably a couple hundred?
Yeah, I would say probably anywhere between 500 and 800.
We My didn't... powers of estimation are not so great.
Well, it's close. I mean, that's for a non-oyster farmer, that's a pretty good guess.
He was for being very nice.
Got another? Yeah. Most people don't get them hand harvested like this.
Is that okay?
Yep, that's a good one.
Forming my oyster eye here.
Like this one, for instance, will probably get thrown back.
This one?
Yep.
Why?
Because one, it's small, and two, it has that kind of nasty turn in the back of the hinge.
Yeah, it looks like it's pointed upward.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to be hard to shuck. And then it's pretty thin. You know, it doesn't have a really deep cup, so the meat's going to be a little bit thin. So the beautiful thing about oyster farming is it's not like farming corn or apples or something where you harvest everything and then you cull out the stuff that doesn't quite make the grade. So we can actually take this, throw it back, and they have an amazing ability to correct themselves. So they sit on the bottom for another few months, and just by shifting it in the mud or getting it away from its buddy that it might have been too close to and it was hogging all the good algae, this will actually grow back into that nice, desirable round shape with that deep cup, and the hinge will correct itself.
That's amazing. Even though this shell is hard and formed, it'll actually grow so that it, I mean, here you're saying the hinge is turned upward. Right. We don't want that. It'll actually turn back down?
What'll basically happen is the shell will just fill in that kind of concave area that you see here. And then not only will it be easier to shuck, but it'll be more full of meat because that area will get filled in with flesh. So now we're going to go back and hit up the hatchery real quick, and then we'll go to the kitchen.
This is a lab. It's an oyster lab.
Turn Bruce down a little bit. I don't need Bruce on the radio. My name's Skip Bennett, and I started Island Creek Oysters. And these days, I spend most of my time in the hatchery. The hatchery's new. We bring the oysters in and feed them for about 4 weeks, warm the water up. So these are adult oysters that I'm talking about. We put them all in their own dishes and raise and lower the water temperature after feeding them aggressively for 4 weeks, and that will induce them to spawn. Oysters are sequential hermaphrodites, meaning that they switch back and forth, but they're one or the other. So we can't tell which ones are males or females. So we catch all the eggs, keep it separate from the sperm, and then mix all the sperm together and then fertilize the eggs. And once the eggs are fertilized, they go into these tanks up here. We just sieved out from the larval tanks, and these are at the size where they'll start to metamorphose.
So these are still larval.
But you can see them swimming in there. They look like pepper.
They look like tiny, tiny dots.
Barely visible.
And how many of the little larvae are in here?
There's probably about 500,000.
And then after they finish their metamorphosis?
They'll move into these other tanks, okay. And then hopefully in a couple of weeks out into the bay.
Great, thank you.
Then we can stop feeding them. You know, they'll be on their own, so...
So here we are in the kitchen, and classic is a mignonette sauce. I have some very good vinegar here. This is a aged sherry vinegar, and this is pretty simple to make. It's just vinegar, shallots.
Minced
shallots, okay. And then black pepper. And I was always told, do black pepper until your arm hurts, and then stop and do it again. So I'm going to take our mignonette, just sprinkle a little bit on top. Magna.
Oh, okay. Mmm.
Wow.
That is amazing.
Sweet, light salt, a little brine there. Wow.
That's my favorite absolute type of oyster. I don't like the big salty ones. The ones that are a little more subtle and delicate like yours are phenomenal.
Can't get any better than this.
There's pictures of our trip to Duxbury as well as Andy Husband's mignonette recipe at radioboston.org.